Psalm 86, verses 11 through 13. This is my prayer for you today. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Lord, I just thank you for this morning, and we just thank you for your presence here. Lord, I pray that as we worship you in song and in giving of tithes and offerings and preaching of the word, and also as we worship you around the table, giving thanks for what you've done for us, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. The title of this message is Present Yourself to Righteousness. It kind of has a ring to it that is purposeful. You need to present yourself to something. And if we've been finding out the last couple of weeks, all of us present ourselves to sin. But this text says, present yourself to righteousness is quite different than our alternative. So let's read it, verses 17, 18, and 19. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were now committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present yourself, members, as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. I was going to bring that little book I have. It's a little blue book, and it's called the New England Primer. How many of you know what the primer is? All right, I'm glad Kim's hand went up. Yes, every school teacher ought to know what the primer is, because that's what they used to teach out of. And it has the gospel in there, and it has five syllable words in there, and kids had to learn things in the New England Primer. And in there is the shorter catechism, and it says, one of the things it says, the very, very beginning, it says, living a life that is wholly devoted to the Lord is our chief end. That's what we ought to be doing, is living a life devoted to the Lord. That's our purpose. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14 says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, I love the way he says that, when you're listening to all the theologies and all that goes on in our world, when the conclusion of all of that is what? Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. We learned last week that we're in a desperate situation, aren't we? We're all sinners. Need is a Savior. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we look to a perfect Lamb. And we're going to celebrate that today. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us all that you have for us today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Work in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts, that we might be able to serve you with a complete heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But listen to this in verse 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy also in all your behavior, because it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is written by a holy God. We need to be holy. Why? Because God says that I am holy. So if the expectation for us is to be perfect, how can we expect to get to heaven and live with a holy God? I'm clueless. You may help me out. Well, let's find out. Let's look at our text. I'm going to break these up into several different sections. We're going to look at verse 17, and we're going to look at 18, and then I'm going to read 19, but we're going to split 19 up into three different ways. I'm not sure what you did there, Christy, but I never tell her ahead what's going on, so I just give her the notes. Verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. So that form of teaching to which you were committed. I love the way Paul says that. And if you listen to the one word, Paul is thankful to God that you were slaves to sin. That means that you are not slaves to sin right now. You were at one time, but now you are not. Last week, I told a story about Ken Davis, and I'm not going to repeat the story, but Ken Davis had found this rabbit, or the neighbor. He's talking about the neighbor. He knew of a neighbor who found this dead rabbit, and the dog had his, So the neighbor cleaned up the rabbit. Do you remember that? And fluffed it up to make it look right. But it was not right. It was dead. And that's what we were. We were dead. Outside of Christ. If we close our eyes to the things of the Lord, we are dead. Last week we looked at the gospel wheel because I wanted you to understand our need for Christ. We are all sinners. We are doomed to hell. But Christ came, and our responsibility is to accept Him. But I have one thing that bothers me. Well, probably more than one. Listen to what James says, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the laws of the transgressors. Listen to verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit murder, but do commit adultery, you have become a transgressor of the law. Surely, there is no way that I can get to heaven. Because I have broken at least one law. What does it say? If you have broken one law, it's as if you have broken all of the law. I am guilty of breaking the law. Fortunately, we have good news for you today. Good news. Romans 6, 18. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. You have been freed from your sin and became a slave of your righteousness. Lori has a phrase that she says periodically, quite often actually, and it just tickles my funny bone. And I don't know if any of you say it. I have not heard any of you say it, but Lori says it. And I don't know if it's a Minnesota thing. I haven't heard anybody else say it, but my wife. She says, switch swap. And that she refers to it as doing laundry. If she's got laundry in the dryer and laundry in the washing machine, what does she do? She needs to swap the laundry. Take the laundry out and fold it and put the laundry that's washed into the dryer and put old, dirty laundry into the washing machine. So she switch swaps. Does it make sense, doesn't it? Come on, help me out here. It makes sense? But it just tickles my funny bone. It's just a funny statement. Hold on to that thought for a moment. Let's look at Psalm 51:2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, the psalmist says. What's justification? What's a quick meaning of justification? Just as if I have never sinned. If you let God rule your life, confess your sins before Him, then you will become sinless. You will become sinless. How do we get to heaven? But by being perfect. But if you give your life to Him, you become sinless. So listen very carefully. You need to switch your sins and swap them for righteousness. Does that make sense? So it's not about dirty laundry, although you, if you're a sinner, you have lots of dirty laundry back in your past, right? You used to live in your sins, but not anymore. Now you live in righteousness, and you are a slave to righteousness. You are to swap your life. What a great statement. It'll still tickle my funny bone. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a great text. I love that song, The Old Rugged Cross. This is exactly what we're talking about today. When I was in fifth grade, how many fifth graders are here today? One? Just one. When I was in fifth grade, I broke my collarbone, and I broke my collarbone in school. It's a dream of every teacher to have a kid that breaks their bones, or at least school administration. And so I broke my, we were in recess, and there was a game that the kids liked to play called Chicken. And the Chicken was a game where someone would climb on the back of another kid, and you would pull and tug other teams to the ground before you could get tugged to the ground. Well, it was a great game. It really was for boys. They didn't worry too much back then about... Well, maybe they did, because I think that they said no more playing chicken after I broke my collarbone. Didn't worry about lawsuits back then. The only problem was my mother told us never to play chicken at school. So I broke my collarbone. The school nurse called my mom, which worked a half an hour away, had to leave work, come and bring me to the doctor, got x-rayed, and by the time I got my brace on and left, and it was in the fall of the year, and you can just imagine the guilt that I now had because I disobeyed and I had this broken. So we got in the car, and all my mom said to me was, "Are you going to do that again? What's a guy going to do?" I said, "Of course not. I am not going to do that again." And I didn't. Didn't do that again. She didn't punish me in any way. She didn't ground me. She didn't spank me, which happened periodically. She only asked me that one question. And then it was as if I had never disobeyed. Grace happened. And we went home. She never mentioned it again. I was forgiven. And that's exactly the way it happened. I broke my collarbone and that was the end of the story. I healed. We have all sinned. But if we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, making him Lord of our lives, then for all practical purposes, we are cleansed of our sins. Jesus forgives us. Let's look at verse 19. I've broken this up into three sections. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So the first part is, Paul says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. In those days, there was lots of slaves. People sold themselves into slavery all the time, and so this was a common language for them. And so the speakers, and when they talk to people like Paul and Jesus did this a lot, they contextualized. They stepped into their society and they talked about something that was relevant in their lives. And so Paul says, he talks about being slaves to sin. So if he was here, if Paul was here today, he probably would have said something like, you present yourself to addictions, since that seems to be what our world is all about. All kinds of addictions today. And so what does he say in the next phrase? For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. You see, you sin, and what happens? You continue in your sin. And then you continue in your sin. And that's what he's talking about. Another way that Paul might have said that phrase is, for in the same way, you are addicted to alcohol or pornography or tobacco or drugs. For since you let yourself fall into these shortcomings, you will do so again and again and again, presenting yourself to sin. Remember Cain and Abel? How many remember Cain and Abel? What happened? Who killed who? Cain killed Abel. Why?
Jealousy.
Let's look at that briefly. Genesis 4, 6, and 7. It says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will your countenance not be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. You must master your sin. Friends, we need to check our sin. Checking in at the door. Check your sin. Correct the error of our way. The last phrase. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. This is the key to the message this morning. How does sin come into our lives? You might know. How does sin come to be a part of our life? What does James say? James 1, 14 through 16. But each one of you is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by whose lust? My own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers. We need to own our sin. We need to be set apart for righteousness. We need to be set apart for righteousness. Our lusts lead to temptation, which leads to sin, which leads to death. And so Paul is saying that we need to be set apart. We need to be different. 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen really closely here. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, for some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, Prepare for every good work. Now flee from your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. For those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. How many of you want to be used for the kingdom of God? You want to be powerful for the kingdom of God? Then you need to set yourself aside. The Bible says that's sanctification. You need to be sanctified, set aside for a specific purpose, like these gold bowls were set aside for a very honorable job in the life of a house. Put him first. Study his word. Know what he expects of you. Talk to him. Confess your sins. Act like a gold vessel. Act like a gold vessel. Worthwhile and worthy to be used of a holy God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Are you looking forward to the day when the Lord comes back? Oh, man, I am too. I'm not going to rush it, you understand. But I really look forward to the day Jesus comes back. Have a great day.